Chapter 29 Jane Eyre. Jane Eyre was published in 1847 under the pseudonym Currer Bell, a suitably neuter name that disguised Charlotte Bronte's sex. It was a great success. William Thackeray described the novel as the masterwork of a great genius. Not that the book was without its critics. G.H. Lewes suggested that Charlotte should study Austen's work and correct her shortcomings in the light of that great artist's practice. Charlotte replied that Miss Austen's work was barely, in the light of what she wanted to do, a novel at all. She referred to it as a highly cultivated garden with no open country. The jury is still out.
W.H.H.F. Renouf, The Brontes. Hobbs shook his head in the relative unfamiliarity of the corridors of Rochester's home, Thornfield Hall. It was night, and a deathly hush had descended on the house. The corridor was dark, and he fumbled for his torch. A glimmer of orange light stabbed the darkness as he walked slowly along the upstairs hall. Ahead of him, he could see a door which was slightly ajar, through which showed a thin glimmer of candlelight. He paused by the door and peered around the corner. Within, he could see a woman dressed in tatters and with wild, unkempt hair, pouring oil from a lantern onto the covers under which Rochester lay asleep. Hobbs got his bearings. He knew that Jane would soon be in to put out the fire, but from which door he had no way of knowing. He turned back into the corridor and nearly leaped out of his skin as he came face to face with a large, florid-looking woman. She smelled strongly of drink, had an aggressive countenance, and glared at him with thinly disguised contempt. They stood staring at each other for some moments, Hobbs wondering what to do, and the woman wavering slightly, her eyes never leaving his. Hobbs panicked and went for his gun. But with wholly unlikely speed, the woman caught his arm and held it pinched so tightly that it was all he could do to stop yelling out in pain.
"What are you doing here?" she hissed, one eyebrow twitching.
"Who in Christ's name are you?" asked Hobbs.
She smacked him hard across the face. He staggered before recovering.
"My name's Grace Poole," said Grace Poole. "In service I might be, but you have no right to utter the Lord's name in vain. I can see by your attire that you do not belong here. What do you want?"
"I'm, with Mr. Mason," he stammered.
"Rubbish,"
she replied, staring at him dangerously.
"I want Jane Eyre," he stammered.
"So does Mr. Rochester," she replied in a matter-of-fact tone. "But he doesn't even kiss her until page 181.
Hobbs glanced inside the room. The madwoman was now dancing around, smiling and cackling as the flames grew higher on Rochester's bed.
"If she doesn't arrive soon, there won't be a page 181.
Grace Poole caught his eye again and fixed him with a baleful glare.
"She will save him, as she has before thousands of times, and she will again thousands of times. It is the way of things here."
"Yeah?" replied Hobbs. "Well, things just might change."
At that moment, the madwoman rushed out of the room and into Hobbs, with her fingernails outstretched. With a maniacal laugh that made his ears pop, she lunged at him and pressed her uncut and ragged nails into both his cheeks. He yelled out in pain as Grace Poole wrestled Mrs. Rochester into a half-Nelson and frog-marched her to the attic. As Grace got to the door, she turned to Hobbs and spoke again.
"Just remember, it is the way of things here."
"Aren't you going to try and stop me?" asked Hobbs in a puzzled tone.
"I take poor Mrs. Rochester upstairs now," she replied. "It is written."
The door closed behind her as a voice shouting, "Wake! Wake!" brought Hobbs's attention back to the blazing room. Within, he could see the night-robed Jane throwing a jug of water over the recumbent form of Rochester. Hobbs waited until the fire was out before stepping into the room.
drawing his gun as he did so. They both looked up, the elves of Christendom line dying on Rochester's lips.
"Who are you?" they asked together.
"Believe me, you couldn't possibly begin to understand."
Hobbs took Jane by the arm and dragged her back toward the corridor.
"Edward, my Edward,"
implored Jane, her arms outstretched to Rochester.
"I won't leave you, my love."
"Wait a minute," said Hobbs, still backing away. "You guys haven't fallen in love yet."
"In that you would be mistaken," murmured Rochester, pulling out a percussion pistol from beneath his pillow. "I have suspected something like this might happen for some time."
He aimed at Hobbs and fired in a single quick movement. He missed, the large lead ball burying itself in the door frame. Hobbs fired back a warning shot. Hades had expressly forbidden anyone in the novel to be hurt. Rochester pulled a second pistol after the first and cocked it.
"Let her go,"
he announced, his jaw set, his dark hair falling into his eyes. Hobbs pulled Jane in front of him.
"Don't be a fool, Rochester. If all goes well, Jane will be returned to you forthwith. You won't even know she has gone."
Hobbs backed down the hall toward where the portal was due to open as he spoke. Rochester followed, gun outstretched, his heart heavy as his one and only true love was dragged unceremoniously from the novel to that place, that other place, where he and Jane could never enjoy the life they enjoyed at Thornfield. Hobbs and Jane vanished back through the portal, which closed abruptly after them. Rochester put up his gun and glowered. A few moments later, Hobbs and a very confused Jane Eyre had fallen back through the prose portal and into the dilapidated smoking lounge of the old Penderyn Hotel. Acheron stepped forward and helped Jane up. He offered her his coat to warm herself. After Thornfield Hall, the hotel was decidedly draughty.
"Miss Eyre," announced Hades kindly. "My name is Hades. Acheron Hades. You are my respected guest. Please take a seat and compose yourself."
"Edward?"
"Quite well, my young friend. Come, let me take you to a warmer part of the hotel."
"Will I see my Edward again?"
Hades smiled.
"It rather depends on how valuable people think you are."